Welcome to Deep Rooted Healing, a contemplative podcast exploring the healing bridges that connect the body, mind, heart, and soul, including creative practices, touch, nature, spirituality, and community. I'm Emma Freeman, an artist, poet, massage therapist, and Reiki practitioner. I'm a highly sensitive person and sober. This podcast is a record of my own unfolding spiritual journey. And may it be supportive for you in some way. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, everyone. This week, I want to talk about my love of textiles and fibers and go deep into that, how I discovered textiles and fibers, how I started playing with them in my art practice, all the different evolutions that they've taken, my favorite materials, my favorite books, all kinds of things. So I'm really excited to talk about that. And before I do that, a few announcements. I just wanted to share what I've been up to lately. I'm continuing to work on the mixed media work that I've been exploring over the last many months, playing with different textiles and fibers and different papers, and most recently, well, I've been making these fabric meditation books out of repurposed fabrics, so I'm continuing to make those. I've been exploring making wall hangings from different materials, which I'll mention more later in the episode, actually, and I've been writing poetry for the first time in my life, and they started emerging a few months ago, and it's been fascinating to witness and really amazing. I'm enjoying and loving what is coming through, and they've been showing up when I'm in the shower. That's how the first ones started appearing. And I ran out of the shower, wrapped in my towel, and quickly ran into my bedroom to write down what it was before it floated away. And since then, many, many, many more have come through my hands, and they're all deep reflections on my healing journey and about my art practice. And I definitely want to share some of them here at some point. Not quite yet, but at some point. So that's been really interesting and exciting. I started a Patreon page. I mentioned that in one of the past episodes, but I thought I'd mention it again. I set that up to support this creative project, the podcast, and I have small monthly levels set up for people who want to financially support this project, from $5 up. And with your support, I can just continue recording these episodes and devote the time and energy to interviewing more artists. I'm going to continue to do this anyways, but if you want to support me doing this financially, I would love it. No pressure, of course. You can find the link to the Patreon page in the show notes or through my website, emmafreemandesigns.com. And then just a couple of other things I wanted to share. I've been listening to some good podcasts that are newer to me that I wanted to share. One of them is called Kensington Unitarians, and it is a podcast that I found randomly while searching for conversations about spirituality and art making. And I was really and have been craving deeper conversations about the creative process and the connections to spirituality, but in a really open way that's not rooted in specific religions. And I stumbled across this Kensington Unitarians podcast and love it. It's a weekly podcast. It's basically, it's just a recording of their Sunday gathering that they do for their community. And they just record it and then release those as the episodes on the podcast. And I find deep resonance, in particular with one of the reverends. Her name is Sarah Tinker. And there are a couple of people who switch back and forth, kind of leading the service. But hers, the way that she reflects really deeply on the state of the world and on being humans and our relationship to light and dark and our need for community and connection. There's these deep themes that she explores in a gentle and really open way that doesn't feel preachy or strict in any way. It just feels very open, and I love it. I find that everyone that I listen to and her little parts of it, I end up taking notes and really resonating with what she shares. And each one is a combination of readings, reflections, and there's singing. There's time for silence, silent meditation. So I've been really enjoying that. And another podcast that I'm loving is called Authentic Obsessions. And I actually got to be interviewed on that podcast a few weeks ago. And Margaret, who runs it, is a collage artist, a wonderful person, doing really great interviews with artists across many different mediums from all around the world. And she's based in Wisconsin like I am. And I love it. I'm really learning about artists who are new to me and different approaches and hearing their backgrounds, and it's really wonderful. And the last podcast that I discovered recently is called Trash Imagination, kind of a fun word. And that one is, it's all creative ideas for using things that would otherwise be thrown away. So each of the episodes are short, and it's kind of like just a pretty succinct listing of ideas for things to do with various objects and materials. And that's been fun to listen to. And I've heard the ones that I've listened to have had suggestions and ideas that I hadn't thought of. Okay, so that's it for announcements. All right, let's talk about textiles and fibers. I love it. Okay, so when I was thinking about this, I thought, okay, I think it would be fun to kind of reflect on my journey with textiles and fibers and discovering them. So when I reflect back, I can see that I've always had a love for textiles, and it started with how I would dress as a teenager and through my adult life up until now, mixing and matching different textiles from different places. So I've always loved to find one thing from here and one thing from there, and then put them together in interesting ways and play a lot with different materials, different patterns and colors. And I've always been, I'm highly sensitive. In one of the ways that that manifests for me is in touch, or the feeling of fibers against my skin. So I can't wear wool. Any amount of wool will make me itchy, and I am very sensitive to synthetic fibers. So I tend to like cottons and linen and rayon, those sorts of materials. So that's one way that it has shown up in my life. The other way is whenever I have traveled near or far. So if I've gone to a new city or a new town or to a different country, I realize that I will always gather and collect textiles and fibers. So, and bring them back home with me and decorate my space, decorate my home or my bedroom with them, or wear what I found. And I've always loved that kind of mixing and matching, eclectic, different, collecting different kinds of materials and pieces from all around the world. And when I was working as a full-time photographer, I used to go to fabric stores and just wander around and look at fabrics and buy ones that spoke to me. And at that time, this was probably 10 years ago, at that time, I wasn't sewing or doing any textile art, but I still would buy the fabric because I was so drawn to it and I loved it. And there, you know, some of the fabrics I would ask my mom to make tablecloths or napkins out of, so she would do that for me. And other ones I would just keep as, like, I wouldn't sew the edges, but I would just lay them across tables in my photo studio. Or I would just keep them kind of laying around so I could look at them. And I remember doing that pretty often. And then when I discovered kind of my intro into textile art was about 6 years ago-ish when I started playing around with cyanotypes. And for anyone who doesn't know what a cyanotype is, it's a beautiful old process from the 1840s that it's also called sun printing. And it's what architects used originally, the original blueprint process to transfer drawings. And it is a light sensitive emulsion that you paint onto the surface. So I've used paper and fabric. You can also use other materials like wood. And then I would gather plants and feathers from outside and make prints. So you make them with, you take the object, you can use any object, I just like using natural ones. You take the object and the light sensitive paper or fabric, take it out in the sun, and then the sun exposes the image right on the paper, and you end up with these beautiful blue and white, vibrant, gorgeous prints. So about 6 years ago, I started playing around with that technique, first on paper, then started doing them on fabric, and started making wall hangings. So I would take embroidery hoops and make the print of a feather or a plant, and then mount the fabric cyanotype into the hoop and hang it on the wall. I also made jewelry, so I made fabric earrings and necklaces and pins, and that experimentation was my first kind of, my beginning with textile art. So from there, you know, about the same time, I was also playing with making fabric button earrings because I had bought some at a cute shop in the Twin Cities. And I thought one time after I had bought a bunch of pairs over a few years. And one of the times I thought, I wonder if I could learn how to make these because I wanted more options for the fabrics. So I did a bunch of research and watched YouTube videos and figured it out and then became obsessed and made a million of them in all different scraps of fabric. And I started selling them on Etsy and at craft shows. And that was really fun. And I also made magnets in the same way. So I would take just larger pieces of fabric and get the little, you can buy these little kits that have a little tool in the little metal cover, button cover. And so I did that for a long time. And then after that, kind of my next chapter with textile art was at those craft fairs, and I also did farmers markets. I would take various fabrics that I had either gotten at fabric stores or at thrift stores and would use them as part of my display. So I would wrap, I would take like a wooden crate and I'd wrap a pretty piece of fabric around it and then put things that I had made on top of it or use layer multiple pieces of fabric on the table to make kind of a patchwork tablecloth that wasn't actually sewn together. So I would play around with that. And then I started a booth at an antique mall. And when I started doing that, I was selling secondhand things like clothes and home goods and pottery and furniture and clothes, all kinds of stuff. And then also selling my art. And during that time, I started going to thrift stores more often, like multiple times a week. And that really amplified my love of textiles and kind of refined it, I think. I found that I was just naturally drawn to woven placemats and curtains made out of linen and cotton, beautiful woven blankets, soft scarves, well-worn napkins. And because I was going out and collecting so much and so often, and this was the first time that I had done that, it, as I looked at all of the things that I was drawn to, I would bring, you know, bring them home, and then from each day start to have all of these various pieces, and they really started to tell a story together. And I started to see what my style was, what I was drawn to. So natural fibers, linen, cotton, rayon, some wools in bold patterns. I really liked and still like black and white patterns, and then just beautiful colors and really soft textures. And that was a fun experience of curating textiles together. And so there was creativity there. And I wasn't making my own textile art out of those things yet. That comes next. So that's a good segue. After I had that booth at the antique mall, I opened my own store. So it was the same concept as the antique mall booth, just bigger. And when I was in that space, I started to play around with painting on textiles. So I would watch YouTube videos and different online classes and read books. And I would take textile paint and paint designs onto dish towels I found at thrift stores and napkins, scarves. And that was a really fun thing to experiment with. And then I would sell the things that I made. I also started to explore ice dyeing. And that, if you don't know what that is, it's really cool. You can take powdered dye and then ice, or you can do it with snow. And you take a piece of fabric, and so you can do it with, I did it with tote bags and dish towels, but you can do it with all kinds of things. And you have to treat the fabric in certain ways, and then you like scrunch it up, pile it up with pieces of ice or snow, and then you sprinkle the dye over the top. And as the snow or ice melts, the dye seeps into the fabric in these really cool, kind of improvisational, interesting, abstract patterns. So I started to dabble in that, which was really fun. I also started to explore block printing on different kinds of fabric, dish towels in particular. I took a class with Jen Hewitt, who's a wonderful printmaker in San Francisco, and I learned how to carve linoleum blocks and then print them on towels. So I did that for a while and would sell them. And then from there, I started dyeing cheesecloth, and that was when I was still in my shop space. And got the idea when I was falling asleep one night. Right before I fell asleep, that idea popped in my mind. And so I played around and still do this. I'll take cheesecloth and I'll dye it with indigo or India inks or acrylic inks, and then I'll use it in my mixed media work. And I love it. It's so soft and it has that grid pattern that's really interesting to play with and pull apart. So I'll stretch some of it, you know, I'll like play with the openings and shape it and form it in different ways. That's really fun. And then I started playing with dyeing tea bags. So that's a fiber that I've played with. And same thing with the cheesecloth. I would take the tea bags and dip them into an indigo vat. Oh my God, so beautiful. And then also take the tea bags and paint them with watercolor paints and acrylic inks, and then I use those in my mixed media collages. And then from there, I started making these fabric meditation books that I mentioned, and making those out of repurposed fabrics that I've found at thrift stores. So things like curtains, sweaters, scarves, napkins, and dish towels. And then I'm using threads, Japanese sashiko threads, Japanese Kogan embroidery threads, cotton sewing threads. And then a few more. I've experimented with a lot of textile practices. It turns out, writing this all out, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I guess I have done a lot. So I've also started making these mixed media collages, and those I'm making out of different scraps of fabric that I'm taking outside and weathering between stones, which is really interesting, and then it will pull apart the fibers. And I love that collaboration with nature too, but it does some really interesting things to the fabric. And then I'll take things like wool roving, different ropes and threads, and the cheesecloth that I dyed, and handmade papers, and mix those all together to make collages. I've been making wall hangings out of pieces of woven placemats that I found at thrift stores. So I'll cut up a section of the placemat and then take recycled hand-dyed rope that I found that I think was meant for macrame, maybe, But it's beautiful. It's in all these, has all these different colors. And I cut those apart and then wind them with cotton thread and glue them onto the section of the placemat and then hang them from a stick. It's kind of hard to describe, but I will share pictures in on the episode page too in case you want to see all of these things. And a few other things. So then I've been taking embroidery hoops and taking the ideas and designs from my fabric meditation books and kind of translating those onto the embroidery hoops. So I take a bigger piece of fabric, again from something repurposed, and then I will do a simple stitching pattern in either sashiko or kogan embroidery thread, and then make these beautiful little simple abstract wall hangings. And I love them. They're so meditative to make, and they also have this vitality and energy and rhythm to them. But they're small, which is nice. I think when I look at them, I see this almost like intense but also quiet energy. But I love that it's in a small container. I also have been stitching through teabags, so using those different threads and just playing around with what the stitches look like, and that's really fun and interesting. I've been making jumchi, which is this incredible Korean papermaking technique where you take thin sheets of mulberry paper and you spray them with water, and then you do this series of steps with your hands to pull apart the fibers, squish it into your hands, and you're like pushing and pulling it. And over a long period of time, the whole structure of the paper changes. So the fibers pull apart and then mend back together in different ways. And you end up with this incredibly delicious, textured, strong paper. And it's been used, it's an ancient process from Korea. It's been used for clothing and for baskets and for all kinds of incredible things around people's homes and in ceremony. And I learned about that randomly while searching around on Pinterest, just looking at art. And the word jumchi came up and I had never heard of it. So I started digging around and I found this one artist, her name is Jiang Chung, who does the most incredible pieces that are huge in this technique. And she also wrote a book called Jumchi and Beyond. So I got that book and she teaches the technique. So that's how I learned it. And it's beautiful. So I've been making sheets of those and then I'm starting to do mixed media collage with that paper. And then I'm also experimenting with a lot of different handmade papers from around the world. So I will go online. I found this great Etsy shop that I'll link to. There's a woman in the UK who gathers all of these amazing papers I had never heard of before. And you can buy small sheets or large sheets of them. So I just go on there and just pick some different ones I'd never heard of or used and buy a few sheets. So some of the ones that I've been playing with are Nepalese handmade lokta papers, Bhutanese black earth paper, which is coated on one side with ground black earth, which is, I think, fascinating. It's got a dusting. It almost looks like charcoal. A little bit of it kind of rubs off the surface of the paper and it's beautiful. And that is a color that's traditionally used in Bhutanese architecture, I learned. And that paper is made from layered risho, which is the bark of dinar, a high-growing variety of lokta from the Himalayan forests of eastern Bhutan. Isn't that fascinating? I think that's so interesting. And then a few of the other papers I've been playing with, there's this one called Sun, S-U-N-N, Islamic hemp paper from northern India. Indigo dyed hemp paper, sasho paper from Bhutan that's made from bamboo and it's dried on a mud wall and it has this really cool texture. And that paper is traditionally used in Tibetan Buddhist monasteries for manuscripts and for woodcut prints. And there's this handmade Dinak paper from Bhutan, mulberry paper from Korea, and then a mate bark paper from Mexico that is insanely beautiful. If you haven't seen it before, I recommend just Google it. It's M-A-E-T-E bark paper. It is these sheets that have all these holes. So all these fibers are pounded together. I found a YouTube video where you can watch how they're made, and it ends up with this. It almost is kind of like lace, but not really, the structure, or like a weaving. So it's got all these holes in it, and it's just like a piece of art in and of itself. And it's phenomenal and beautiful. So those are all the papers that I've been playing around with. And with those papers, I'll do mark making on them. I'll crumple them up and explore texture. I'll use them for collage. Excuse me. So that's been really fun. Take a sip of tea. Hold on. And I think that's everything I wanted to share about that. I'll share where I'm getting the materials, like those papers and the threads from in the show notes. There's two Etsy shops that I have been really happy with, and I'll share those in case you're curious. And then I thought I would share some of my favorite textile art books, because I have been gathering a lot of them, reading a lot of them over the last year, and they're wonderful. So let me read this list, and then I will also share it in the show notes so you can copy and paste the title if you don't want to write it down. Okay, one more sip of tea. Hold on. Okay, books. So the first one is called Rug Money, How a Group of Maya Women Changed Their Lives Through Art and Innovation by Mary Ann Weiss and Cheryl Conway Daly. This book I just finished recently, and it's phenomenal. So inspiring. I love it's very much rooted in these women's lives. It tells their stories. There's interviews with them, lots of pictures. So I love that. I got to learn about their lives and their stories and their culture. And then it also taught me a lot about teaching, because the way that they learned this new rug making technique was from another visiting artist. So there's a lot of teaching methods that are within the book that were inspiring to me as a teaching artist. So I got a lot out of that one. Another book is called Women Artisans of Morocco. That's fascinating, and I learned so much about Moroccan culture and about the women artists who are doing incredible textile art there. I didn't write down the author, but I'll put that in the show notes. Next book, The Hand-Stitched Surface by Lynn Krausick. Another book, Layered Cloth, The Art of Fabric Manipulation by Anne Small. Three-Dimensional Embroidery by Janet Edmonds. Poetic Cloth by Hannah Lamb. Embroidering Within Boundaries, that's a book about women in Afghanistan who are doing embroidery, which is so fascinating. And again, I learned so much. Let's see. The next book, A Textile Traveler's Guide to Peru and Bolivia by Cynthia LeCount Samake. And that book it's designed as a traveler's guide, but I just kind of pretended I was traveling there. So I learned about lots of different parts of Peru and Bolivia and all of the different textile techniques, or a lot of them. It's really wonderful. Another book, Sheila Hicks, Lifelines. Sheila Hicks is an artist who is new to me within the last year, and I am really inspired by, because she does textile work that is massive. So all the work I make is really small. Hers is huge, and I am so curious about and in awe of how she takes her work into the third dimension and makes it so large. And so I've been really enjoying looking at her work. Next book, there's a bunch of books. The Intentional Thread, A Guide to Drawing, Gesture, and Color in Stitch by Susan Brandes. That one I'm reading right now, and it's cool. It's like a textbook of different interesting techniques that I had not seen before. And Jiumqi and Beyond by Jiang Cheng. So that's a book I mentioned that teaches the technique of Jiumqi, but it also shows a lot of photos of her work and then other artists who are working with Jiumqi. And next book, Natural Processes in Textile Art by Alice Fox. That one's fabulous. Slow Stitch, Mindful and Contemplative Textile Art by Claire Wellesley Smith. Bojagi and Beyond by Chungyi Lee. Threads Around the World from Arabian Weaving to Batik in Zimbabwe. Kigami and Kami Ito, Japanese Handmade Paper and Paper Thread by Hiroko Kuruno. Stamp Stencil Paint by Anna Joyce. Hand Dyed by Anna Joyce. Lota Prints, How to Print with Anything from Potatoes to Linoleum by Lota Jan's daughter. Mending Matters by Katrina Rodebaugh. Every Thread a Story, Traditional Chinese Artisans of Guizhou Province, I'm not sure if I said that right, by Karen Elting Brock, Linda Ligon, and Wang Jun. The Secret Language of Mao Embroidery by Zheng Li, and Annie Albers on Weaving. So those are all the books that I've been reading recently about textile art specifically. There's so many cool things out there to learn. I love it because I just love learning about how different artists from around the world approach textiles, what their lives are like, how textile art and fibers fit into their lives, what it gives them, how it's healing and nurturing, how people use different materials, where the materials come from, what stories are rooted in the materials, what history is rooted in the materials. It's all so fascinating. And then I'm also learning techniques that are just kind of slowly trickling into some of my work. Not everything that I'm reading about, I'm experimenting with, but some things I am. So that's been really inspiring. So I think that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. I hope my fellow textile fiber lovers out there enjoyed this and got something out of it. And I think we'll leave it there. If you enjoyed the episode, if you would leave a review, that would be fabulous, or share this with someone. That's how I can spread the word about this project and just find, like-minded people who want to think about, talk about, share art. And the Patreon page will be linked in the show notes as well if you want to offer financial support. And if not, that's okay too. All right, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye.